Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You got
good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It is episode number 278, and this is Stephen Zimmer coming to you live out of Lexington, Kentucky. And again, shout out to that awesome new intro we have from the band Far Cry from the song Balance off the album of the same name. And joining me tonight, our two co-hosts. One is online right now, and the second one just came on right now. But first I'll introduce the one, the only, live from the trolley in Tennessee, Daniel Dark. And then joining us in addition, the one, the only, and probably about 20 feet away from me, Holly Philippi. Well, good evening, my co-hosts.
Well, it's a great evening. We're able to be up and alive, so it's a great evening.
Yeah,
that's true.
Small victories.
We're still upright.
Small victories. That's right. Yeah, Daniel had to load the generator onto his trolley at the end of the business day, and rain evidently hit him right as he was loading the trolley before the show. So Daniel is actually broadcasting tonight on the wet side. He is inside the trolley, but he did get a little rain on him. So hopefully he will dry out.
Do you at least have a towel?
No, I'm not worried about it.
Don't catch a chill and get sick now.
But it'll dry.
He's used to that rainy London weather, Holly. That rainy Victorian era London weather. Yeah, this is his thing. He's a pro at it. Welcome to everyone coming in. Chat room's filling up quick. We got, of course, the amazing Carol Preflatish. Looks like tonight's guest is in there. I will hold off on the introduction. If you've seen our awesome graphic, which I think is one of the best graphics we've ever had for one of our shows. Yeah, it's great. The image I got of tonight's guest. But had to use it when I saw that. And, of course, the one, the only, Tommy B. Smith. And, yeah, he's got his cat avatar here that you can see if you see Tommy in the chat room. Tommy is reading away, evidently. Tommy is reading Carol's book, as a matter of fact. He's just told her. The Coin Collector, Carol's second Nathan Perry mystery. Tommy has begun to read it. And, yeah, as I did reply to somebody on Twitter. A writer was asking, you know, is it vital for writers to read a lot? And I was like, my response is pretty straightforward. I was like, it's essential. I said, you know, reading is a key element to developing your craft as a writer. So, yes, so see, Tommy is
sometimes being a good writer. Sometimes it's hard to find the time, but, yeah, you got to read. You have to read something.
Yeah.
You know,
it's part of developing the craft. And as Tommy, of course, is a great writer. So as you see, he's also reading. See, Tommy B. Smith proving my point, as always. Thank you, Tommy. But
you don't have enough time to read that day. Listen to a good book.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, that counts too. Absolutely.
Yeah, that works too.
Mm-hmm. And in my world, it involves a bit of editing too. So end up doing a lot of reading.
Yeah, we're constantly reading. That's why it's
constantly
hard. I don't really read for pleasure anymore. I don't get to, and I've got like four different books going that I've had going for like a year because we just don't get time to read for pleasure. We did a little bit back in the spring, but then, you know, Imaginarium started creeping, and then, of course, we don't have time to, you know, all we got to do is eat, sleep, and repeat. So, we got out of that groove. We was taking a break every evening, sitting on the back deck with the squirrels and reading and having some bourbon and wine.
Reading time.
But,
reading time. We're going to get back to that.
skills to make them better authors? Or
yes, they need to improve their reading, you know, and mm-hmm. I wanted them to write me a good story about life of the squirrels in my little tree out there.
The squirrels, right.
The big, it's actually a big tulip poplar, but there's a hole
it's
in there, and they live in
tulip
there.
Poplar. Yep.
I wanted to write
big
a story
poplar.
About Fred. Mm-hmm. The tree's Frederick, and the squirrel's Fred. Don't ask. It's Fred on Fred. If y'all know any Ray Stevens, there was an old song, Fred on Fred. That's what I got going on here. But Fred's actually Frederica because, well, he had babies. So, yeah, but they're fun. They're getting skinny now because I ain't fed them in the summer because, you know, they got berries and all that stuff. And then in the winter, they're like three times that size. They're huge. I put pictures on Facebook. I'm sure some of you have seen. I make them
that's
really fat.
They fluff out in the wintertime, hun.
Do what?
They fluff out in the wintertime.
They do. They fluff out all right.
Yep. Well, you know, I always
too.
Say, you know, it's... Know which squirrels belong in our backyard because they're the fat ones. Yeah, all our squirrels are very hefty because thanks to Holly and her feeding program. So, yeah, we hope they stay in the tulip poplar because they probably couldn't outrun the neighborhood cats and such down the ground. So they need to stay up in the tree network.
Our guest said that we need to read the Squirrel Apocalypse. And I believe that, gosh, who is that? I know it. It's on the tip of my tongue.
That is a Hydra Publications book.
It is a Hydra book, and I know the author. I just can't think of it right now. Help me out here, Hydra.
Yeah, help me
and
out.
Then,
you know who you are. Yes.
Sandy said she saw a bunny in her yard, which is rare in Florida, you know, because there's gators and hawks everywhere, not to mention the snakes. Sandy, let's not leave them out. You know, there's a bunch of them too. Oh yeah, Joseph Matulich wrote the
Squirrel
Apocalypse.
Yes, Joseph Matulich. Yep.
Yeah, Tommy says they have rabbit. We do have a rabbit that we do. He hangs around.
Big one.
I see him every now and then in New York.
He's grown to a decent size. We have two possums, one big huge raccoon. Mm-hmm. We have two ravens
that argue
and a big rabbit. And assorted chipmunks, and then of course a bunch of very fat squirrels. So yes,
and we live in a city,
running from one of the cats is there. You know, be like one of those cartoons where it stops for a second, holds its side, say, hold on, wait a minute, breathe real heavy.
Yep.
Okay, let's go.
Yep.
Oh, he corrected me and said Joseph, not Joseph. I pretty much say him the same way, but it's Joseph. Yeah, I know he spells it with an F. Well, it's spelled with a P, but it sounds like an F.
That's the answer to the trivia question early here. But, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, looking at the – Tommy also has tons of squirrels. Don't know if he feeds them to the same extent that you do, Holly, but evidently he does. So we also want to wish early tonight. We have some listeners. I know Will Hutcherson and Trevor Hutcherson are regular listeners. And Trevor's daughter, Will's sister, Natalie, is having a birthday on Friday. And we do understand that there's going to be a little event called NatFest 2021. So we want to give Natalie a shout-out for that and her birthday. So we heard about this. But, Natalie, congratulations.
At our house. I guess we did.
There you go. Your first mention on the Star Chamber show. I wanted to just make sure you got in there. So that was important news. We do have important news, though. I will say real quick, we did announce the 2022 Imaginarium dates yesterday, July 8th to 10th of 2022. So, yes, same spot on the calendar as we had this year, same venue, which everyone loved. So, yes, you'll be returning to the same awesome venue, and we will be taking over the entire hotel. It will be bigger and better than ever before. And as if that's not enough, for the next few weeks, we do have early discounts on vendor space, early discounts on event tickets. We also have sponsorships are now open for new sponsors for 2022. And then we also have guest applications open for those wishing to be considered as spotlighted guests and or panelists. So that is all underway. So check out entertheimaginarium.com for that. And I know it's still early, but never too early to plan and, you know, get yourself set up for that. The room block's not open yet. It will open up.
You know, had three different events that week. You know.
Do what?
It's never too early to plan, especially for people like me where I had three different events I was supposed to be at that week.
No.
And I'm going to tell you, I heard over and over and over, where's Daniel? Because I'd be walking around there's wondering where you know, my shadow was. And I'm like, he's got a cigar fest. And they're like, well. And I had person after person ask, where's Daniel? Where's Daniel?
Uh-huh.
Where's Daniel?
I got a lot of that, yeah. I got a
so
lot of that.
So you are quite popular.
Yeah.
That you were missed. You were terribly missed.
With having to take this early, I will be able to put that on my calendar now.
Yeah,
so
let's
that,
do it.
You know, so
yep.
I don't have
want
to
you all
about
to put it down.
Here.
I had well, let me tell
early.
You, I was completely loosed. I had nobody to watch after me. So yeah, it got crazy. I was all over the place, Friday, Saturday.
Well,
I had nobody to watch after me.
Next year, home you can on having a shadow there.
Yes.
So
awesome!
Yes,
fantastic! And yes, we are exploring doing a two-day virtual convention, but it will be separate. It will be separate event from the physical Imaginarium, and that's just so that we can better have more staff available. To be involved with that. So we're definitely looking into doing that.
We'll do a virtual,
ahead of the physical event, but it will only be like a two-day event. It won't be three. It'll be like a Saturday, Sunday, and it'll still have a 30-day window afterwards for viewing everything, but we're going to be working on that just shortly. But we wanted to go ahead and give you the heads up on the physical event in Louisville. That's July 8th to 10th. So, yes, so that's good news. And it looks like Sandy Lender is holding a snuggly parrot. That's good because I actually did one more verse in your jingle, Sandy. Of course, you know, the words that we came up with, you listen to the show regularly, you know, Sandy Lender, a genre blender at writing epic tales. Sandy never fails, but here's more. But wait, here's the new part. And crafting all the words while raising all her birds. How you like that, Sandy? That's the next line of your jingle.
She's like, oh, no.
Crafting all the words while raising all her birds.
Raising
there
all
their
birds.
Sandy Lender's song. It's we're going to do this. We're going to get some musicians and do a real good write this song, mix
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we know
musicians.
People. We know people.
We're going to get this done at some point. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. But while we're on the subject of Sandy, let's go ahead.
Silvio to sing it. We'll get Silvio to sing it.
That actually can sing. Tommy can play on drums. Tommy B. Smith can do the drum track. It'll be awesome.
Oh, there you go.
So, but our guest is about to call in a couple minutes here, so let me go ahead and get our sponsors recognized. Tonight we have two awesome ones that our guest knows well. They are Per Bastet Publications and, of course, the amazing Sandy Lender, who you just heard the continuation of her jingle. So, but I will give you the serious spot right now for Sandy Lender. Here she comes on the Sandy Lender spot.
Fantasy author Sandy Lender wants to take you on vacation. All you have to do is grab one of Sandy's many spec fiction titles and let her sweep you away. Get ready to cheer for strong heroines, multifaceted zombies, and, of course, all those fabulous dragons. Follow Sandy Lender on the Amazon platform to select your next summer vacation destination.
Thank you, Sandy. And yes, folks, follow Sandy at Amazon.com. Look up Sandy Lender, and yeah, lots of stuff to select. And now for Per Bastet. Perbostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With over 30 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Perbostet offers a little bit of everything. Explore post-World War II England with 11-year-old Sylvie and Edelweiss for Elizabeth, the sequel to Andrea Gilbey's Bottle Tops for Battleships. Or dive into the thrilling world of Karma and Crime, a new supernatural mystery by J. Paul Burroughs. You can find these titles and more at perbostetpublications.com, at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at regional events such as Magna Cum Murder in Indianapolis in October. Perbostet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. So thank you, T. Lee, Sarah, Marion, and Marion Allen. You guys are the best, and appreciate your support. And with no delay, we are going to bring our guest in, who is a show favorite. He is an award-winning author, award-winning publisher, and an award-winning screenwriter. So, yes, that's the Kentucky trifecta, and, of course, the founder of Hydra Publications, and one of our absolute favorite people in the world, and a longtime Toastmaster at Imaginarium. Welcome back to the show, the one, the only, Tony Acree. You're live. There he
Yay!
Is.
Hey, Tony.
Yes.
There he is.
Why are
you being such a slacker, Tony?
Yeah. Tell you what, I have only one slight correction.
You don't have an award-winning producer or director on there. You know, come on.
Well, I'm working on that, Daniel, so I'm going to get there. I do have one slight correction to that fabulous introduction. I did not found Hydra Publications. I did buy it.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Yeah, I probably bumbled over that. Yes. That's true, yes. But you took it over, and you've done wonders.
You've
and
had it for so long, it just
and,
seems like it.
And
yeah.
You had it for so long, and it just seems like it because, yeah, it's a Hydra's become like a world to itself now, and you've got just amazing titles and imprints and, yeah, lots of stuff happening. So, yeah, you get carried away when you're live, and you want to praise Tony so much because he does a lot for everybody else. So yeah, when you get a chance to sing his praises, you get carried away sometimes.
If you know the highball shake, he appreciates the highball shake.
He does,
right?
And I've got a glass of some of those minis right now, right next to me. So in your all's honor, I'm drinking Fireball minis. So
nice. That's the trademark, yes, the Tony
awesome.
Acree trademark, yes. Oh, I love those. And yeah, this year I was so in tunnel vision running the convention. I needed to. I don't think I did get to give you one of the famous handshakes. So I still owe you that. One of my favorite famous handshakes, where I shake your hand and give you a fireball at the same time. But yeah, we will make that up to you.
Unfortunate.
Yes, and. So how are you? Yeah, you've been a busy person. You've even been to Vegas and piling in more awards, where you won a press award, I believe, not too long ago.
Yeah, it was great. It was the AOF MegaFest. They awarded me Publisher of the Year, Amy McCorkle. Of course, is famous in the screenwriting and writing genre stuff. She was kind enough. She was the one who actually gave me the award while I was there. It was hot. It's rather warm in Vegas, but I did get the for the year award, and that's exciting because they're a well-known film festival, and so that was nice that they did that. And then I picked up some more gigs while I was out there. We've got so much going on. I've got Songs of Bloody Harlan, which is being directed by the fabulous young director Jemez Hampton. We're close to getting that funded, but if you're out there and you decide you want to invest in a movie, please give me a shout. We'll be happy to take your money and make a movie with it. And I'm currently writing. I just picked up another writing gig. I'm writing a romantic comedy, which features a dog. I'm going to be writing a horror short film. It looks like. Also, I'm being discussed about writing a courtroom drama in Texas. And that's on the screenwriting gigs. And I've got my next novel, which is a crossover novel with Lynn Tencher, She has a character, Detective Paige Aldrich, which is in her mind-bending series. We're doing a crossover novel between Paige and Victor McCain. That'll be out. It's with beta readers right now. That'll be out sometime early next month. I do have another standalone Victor McCain novel that I'm hoping to get done by Christmas. And then I've been given the green light to go ahead and announce that based on the Victor McCain book and the Samantha Tyler books, and we're going to have Mary Ellen Quire on later, because she co-writes the books now, the Samantha Tyler books, with Rachel Rawlings, two fabulous ladies who just do a fantastic job. Dark Harbor Pictures is going to be signing me to, I can make the official announcement, it's going to be signing me to not one series, but two series based on both Victor McCain and Samantha Tyler. So we're looking to partner up with Dark Harbor Pictures. In addition to that, publishing house, the other side of Dark Harbor, which is Element Media, they've got a mystery division. They've signed Bill Knoll. They're going to be doing a mystery series based on Bill's books, and they're looking at as many as 6 to 12 other books that we write for possible TV series. So we're rather busy, but when you're a small press trying to climb that ladder, you don't want to be bored, and we're not.
No, well, I know you've been busy because I've just followed some of your doings online, and it's like, yeah, you're bouncing all over the place with a lot of the exciting stuff with film development and screenwriting, but going well, it sounds like, so that's awesome. Very excited to hear.
Yeah, I've got my twin girls are seniors in high school, so you throw that in, and, of course, my wife is now working from home. We just don't really stop, so it's nice to get to sit for an hour, talk to some friends, drink some Fireball. You know, we got Nick Williams coming up a little bit. So, you know, we got some people coming up that it's going to be fun to talk to. We've got a lot of things going on, so.
Yeah, tonight we get some bonus guests, like you said, and it's been, of course, Mick, we got to thankfully see him at Imaginarium. I'm looking forward to catching up with Mary Ellen Quire. She's awesome, and I was actually a guest at a book club that she's a part of, a readers group, and it was awesome. So, I missed talking to her, so that's going to be awesome to have her on the show tonight.
I was with her book club just a couple of weekends ago, and they read the latest Samantha Tyler novel, Absolution, and that's the novel that I think really did the trick on getting us. With the LA people, they were going to do a series on Victor McCain, and then if he was popular enough, they were going to do a Samantha Tyler series, and I sent them Absolution by Rachel and Mary Ellen, and they decided to do a Samantha series as well, so... I just finished reading 2 days ago. They're halfway through writing Gargoyle, which is the third Samantha Tyler book. And is it ever? It's the first one where Victor McCain shows up. I wanted Samantha to have two books with no Victor. I wanted to be all Samantha all the time. And this will be the first book where they're bringing Victor into it. And it's really strange when you read somebody else writing your character. But they're doing a really good job with it. I'm very pleased. And I'm reading, but damn, Victor's kind of awesome, you know. So the ladies want to write a really good book.
Awesome. Yeah,
that's
just
great.
Never, please never allow something like season 8 of Game of Thrones. That's all I'm going to say.
Keep it
under control. Yeah. I'm still chafing over watching that, so... make sure it doesn't go off the rails there.
A lot of people listening, you know, they listen to your show to learn things about screenwriting and writing because you have a lot of creative people on. And we were talking because the reason why that failed was from the simple Save the Cat screenwriter's book. And we're going to do a couple minor spoilers here, but if you want to be a screenwriter, reading Save the Cat is a great book to teach about how writing a screenplay. But their premise is you basically have to have your character or your anti-hero do something in the early part of the movie, save a cat, do something that gives them, the audience, a reason to cheer for them. And when you think about it, with the way Game of Thrones ended up, the guy that ended up on the throne, he never did anything that made you cheer for him. He was just,
I know, that's what I was saying. That's what I was telling Ollie. I was like, oh, my God.
So everybody else there, whether it be Tyrion or Sansa or Jon Snow or the Onion Knight, they had all saved the cat at some point or other, and Bran never did. So when he became king, everybody's like, what? What?
Oh, my God. Steve was so mad. Steve was like, what does he do? He just sits there in his chair and doesn't do anything. He sits there and goes, I'm a three-eyed crow. You know?
Basically, all he did.
He says, if there's a war breaking out, he's going to sit there and sit real still and not talk or beat his chair, just say, I'm a three-eyed crow. Yeah.
That'll get it done. Yep, that'll get it done.
That'll
stop a Dothraki horde in no time.
That'll scare him.
That's like, oh, jeez. It was rough.
But
yeah, I was just trying to one thing
John
I complained
Snow.
About. Yeah.
Well, my thing was I love Daenerys. I love Dany. I mean, I understand her, you know. I'm a little touched like that, too. I'm like, burn them down, burn. But then, she's been all about saving, letting people loose, letting slaves loose. And yeah, I'm all for it. Burn down the masters, you know. And then all of a sudden, she takes out the whole town, innocent people. And I'm like.
Yeah, character
whoa,
shifted on a dime, on a dime. I mean,
whoa,
I was like,
back
there was no
I
real
mean, I knew she was unstable,
that.
But
well,
I was like, hold up here. Now, whoa, I can't like her now, you know.
I don't know that she shifted on that. I think that growing, I know what's right, nobody else does. I think that had been growing for a while. So I'm gonna take slight umbrage with your characterization because I saw it coming long before it happened because she was.
Well,
really?
I saw it coming, but they did not do enough in season 8 to develop that. No, if you're gonna develop
that
kind of arc, there needs to be a little bit more.
You know, it seemed out of character for that quick.
Yeah, it really seemed like a quick. Thing, yeah,
it was.
I definitely saw a little bit of a struggle, but to go to that extreme, over that edge, there needs to be
like
a little
Tony
more
said
to it. There.
You know, Tony has talked about she is, you know, she was a little off, and you've seen that, but you know, for her to do it to that extreme measure, it was just whoa, you know. But once she started, she wasn't going to stop. I mean, you know, once they start it, she's like, she could roll with it.
Dragons go to your head. That's all it is. So, you know.
Could be,
yeah.
But, yes, let's go on to the exciting adventures of Tony Acree. What's up? What's on the front burner at the moment?
Well, this week we released Sea Fog, which is the first. Bill Noel has his Folly Beach Mystery Series. We've done some Christmas books. This is his first. I've been begging Bill now to give me a Halloween mystery book. So this is the very first ever Folly Beach Halloween mystery, and he co-wrote it with his daughter, Angelica Cruz. So that was kind of a good thing for Bill. And it's already taken off like gangbusters. It's one of his best-selling ones we put out. So that's
awesome.
The newest thing we've got going on. And then We've got some wonderful stuff coming out with we signed Rock Neely, who used to be with Postmortem, which is no longer putting books out. So we're going to be putting out his previous catalog and some new stuff coming up. So we're looking forward to a formal announcement on Rock. We've got, of course, mm-hmm. Lynn and I's book coming out. We've got, of course, the guest that will be coming up here in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about his new book and, of course, his win at Imaginarium. And we've got many things in the pipeline that are just, you know, we're going to be busy. We just re-released books by R.J. Sullivan. We'll have new stuff out. We released new stuff from John F. Allen coming out in a month or two. We've got a new book released just recently by Jim Miller. And so we've just got a lot of stuff coming.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I had a good time catching back up with
make
John
up
and RJ.
For 2020.
Great writers. Yeah. Yeah, John is a fantastic writer. RJ is, and yeah, it was a lot of fun to see them in person, you know, a little over a month ago. Yeah, those guys are talented. And yeah, folks, if you haven't checked their stuff out, yeah, keep on the Hydra site for these announcements because they are first-rate guys as writers.
Well, and then, I'm going to go back and say, like the award that I just got out in Vegas for Publisher of the Year, and then I was the very first winner of the Jason Sizemore Award for Small Press Publishers. And I know Jason has kind of wondered about that ever since. But when you win those awards, it really is the quality of the writers that we have. You know, when you've got people like Rick, who was one of your Imaginators at Imaginarium this past year.
Yes.
Richard, a fabulous mm-hmm. fantasy writer. And then you've got Lee Pennington, former Kentucky Poet Laureate mm-hmm. and the three-time Pulitzer nominee. And, you know, Arlen, you know, Dr. Arlen Andrews Sr. is a Hugo Award nominee. And, of course,
oh, yes.
we forget we got coming with Michael Noss, the award, Bram Stoker Award-winning editor. We've got the Writers Workshop of Horror 2, which will
yep.
be for sale for everybody on September 1st, which has interviews and articles by Stephen King, Anne Rice, Tim Wagner. I mean, mm-hmm. Just a plethora of very well-known and up-and-coming horror writers so you can work on your, you know, your writing game. And, I mean, that's one of the biggest well, it is the biggest project we've ever done at Hydra. And so we're excited for that to go live on September 1. So, dude, that's making me tired just talking about all this stuff.
So, FGCRI's and Stephen King are up and comings?
Up and coming, right?
Yeah, up and coming. Yeah, we're giving this guy called Stephen King, we're giving him a chance. We want him to get a voice
yeah.
in the national platform. You know. So, dear Mr. King, just so you know, we love you, and I am also a Red Sox fan, so we're good.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael Knott out there developing all the new voices in fiction there. And, yeah,
yeah
some of those guys are work.
Yeah.
And I'll be back. I got to check something real quick here. I'll be right back.
No worries.
We'll get them on the line. I'm a huge Anne Rice fan. Oh my God, beloved Lestat. I'm a huge fan. So I can't wait till the book comes out.
September 1st, ebook. You can pre-order your copy now on .gov.
I know.
So, you know.
when
you need
when
to do
the
an
signed book coming out?
What's that, Daniel?
When are the signed books coming out?
We're going to be emailing. We're going to be mailing those books out before the end of the month. I've already ordered them from Ingram. Those of you who are involved in the small press world know that sometimes dealing with printers is an adventure in its own right. Just last week,
yes.
we could order printing and 3-day shipping, so we were in good shape. I placed the order on Monday. It is now 10 days shipping, no other option, and you've got to pay the full printing price, no other option. So it's kind of like, oh, thank you so not very much, Ingram. You know, so
right.
what are you going to do? But the signed copies mm-hmm. go out a couple days before the book goes live.
And how would,
Daniel,
that's awesome.
How will somebody get one? Or are they all sold out?
I think we have one left. So if you go to the Hydra Publications and click on the link there under the Writer's Workshop before, I think we have one copy left. What we've done is 1 through 100, Michael Noss is going to sign them and number them, and they're mailing them out before the ebook goes live. So that's what Daniel's talking about. Daniel, we got one more just for you, buddy.
All right.
That's yeah, awesome. Man. That's
go
awesome.
Ahead. Go ahead and put my
Daniel
name
says,
on it.
Save that booger.
Well, are you ready? Are you ready for some to amp this show up a little bit, everybody? Are you ready? Because I have a special new caller that's going to be joining the conversation. And this caller is a Hydra Publications author who is fresh off winning an Imagine Award for his science fiction novel, Hope's Game. He won Best Science Fiction Novel. And, of course, now you know who he is, so I'm going to bring him live. I'm speaking of the one, the only, Mick Williams. Mick, you are live and on the air.
Good evening,
Mick.
Everybody. How is everyone?
There he is. Hello.
my first ever appearance in the Star Chamber.
Yes.
We're glad to have you back, sir.
It's good to be here.
We spare no expense on this show.
Now, for those
it's
of you who talk, I want you to know he is from Indiana. So when you hear the accent, that's that Hoosier accent.
Yeah, the Hoosier accent, right.
Yeah,
I've lived here
I'm
5 years, so I still have the Hoosier accent, but, you know, my side's a little different. It's southern Indiana.
I'm just from very, very incredibly eastern Kentucky.
There you go.
Basically.
There you go.
like about 6,000 miles. But happy.
Well,
to
you
be
missed
here,
us so
thing.
Much. Well, you moved to England, and for a while, after we got to know you, of course, broke all our hearts. But then you actually missed us so much and missed Imaginarium so much that you actually moved back just to be with us again.
It's a fact.
So we appreciate
that. It is a fact.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, and because the time difference meant as well that I couldn't even do the online Imaginarium because when you were off,
yeah,
I was in bed,
right,
and vice versa. And so, yeah,
right,
so it was a dream just to get back this year and see everyone. It was so good to see everyone. And I promise next year I intend to make it through the entire weekend.
No.
Well, it wasn't your
That's
fault.
Not, it wasn't your fault, Mick. It wasn't your fault.
Oh, no, not at all. No, I was saying to a friend the other day that I've actually won 2 awards at Imaginarium and I've been there to pick up neither of them. So that needs to change.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe third time will be a charm next July.
Third time charm, yes. I got to get some books
right
out so I can get nominated.
I'm glad you brought that up because I want Mick to talk a little about. We did. I had been begging Mick for a series for a while. He wrote the first book in the Old Farts Club. It's called Exodus, which became an Amazon bestseller, and we're now working on the cover. Because the second book in the series is ready to come out. And so I thought, Mick, why don't you tell folks a little bit about your new book?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm very happy with this new book. It's a long time coming because a number of things happening. But, yeah, same cast of characters, same action, same laugh, same banter. It kind of carries on where the first one left off. And I won't say too much just in case the folks that haven't read it don't spoil how it finishes. But there's kind of, it's basically about a bunch of guys. They're all military veterans, not all retirees. There's a couple of younger guys in there. They all bring special skills to the table. It's basically like an A-team for the new generation. And in the first book, one of the old farts is on vacation in Jamaica, and his wife goes missing, and the guys are all tasked to help try and get her back, and obviously it escalates into life or death stuff. And it ends with a call to arms. One of the characters is named English, who served in the Gulf War, and a friend of his is in serious trouble, and he reaches out to English for help. And so the guys all get together and head over to Scotland to help him out. And of course, that's an adventure in its own. But in all my books, I always write about strong women, probably because I'm married to one. And the girls also get a look in this time around, whereas in the first book, you kind of got the point of view from the false missing wife being held captive. In this book, she goes off on an adventure of her own with a sister, which again develops into all kinds of manic banter and lots of action. And takes a turn that I hope you won't see coming, that I really enjoyed writing. I'm looking forward to getting this out. I've also got the next two of these outlined. One's about 10,000 words in, and so there's at least another couple of books in the pipeline, hopefully pretty soon to come out and get this series up and running.
Yeah, I think this
fantastic
kind of stuff will make a series of movies too.
Well, it's weird because all my reviews for all my books say this would make a great movie. I'm like, someone needs to see my reviews before they read my books. That would be cool. But yeah, Exodus, I thought would make a superb movie. And Dark Target, a new book, I wrote it with the same kind of thing in mind. I sort of write by playing the scenes in my mind and writing what I can see. And this would also be a really good action movie with lots of good characterization. But we shall see.
Well, it's a good thing you know somebody.
It is a very good thing.
I know a guy.
I'm proud to know somebody.
I know a guy.
Yeah. It is like, I don't know. I know this guy that can meet. So, yeah, so, no, every time I kind of put pen to paper or fingers to keyboard, I always try and think, you know, I want my book to come across like you're reading a movie and you can get immersed in it and lose yourself in the characters and the settings and just go for a ride. And there's not a lot of preaching or deep, profound stuff, just a good get yourself off this planet and escape for a while kind of story.
Nice.
Cool.
Very
That's
nice.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very excited.
The best books.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the books where I have to sit in the. I know Stephen writes fantasy. Lord, we have these discussions. But I don't read epic fantasies. It's just not my genre to read for fun, you know. But you know, each to their own. People love epic fantasy.
Absolutely.
Lord of the Rings. Right? I mean, people love epic fantasy. I love a book. I just pick up, enjoy. I don't have to put a lot of thought in it. You know, when I'm reading for fun, I just
well,
like
then,
that book. It's got a good story, got a great plot. You know,
yeah
great character
out,
development.
Always.
You know.
Yeah, all the characters
and
have their own little quirks and skills and. They're like regular military guys that I know. They've all got each other's backs, and they're very proud of who they are and what they've done. And they all stick together when the time is needed. They're all there together looking out for one another.
Yeah.
Well, that's the key.
And my heart bleeds
having...
for them right now. Bless their hearts. And I want to tell all the veterans out there, thank you. Thank you for your service. It has not been in vain.
Amen.
We do thank you for your service.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. And but yeah, I mean, you've touched on something very key here, Mick. It's the characters. I don't care if you're writing, you know, something that had, you know, like I said, is a really deeply philosophical book, or something that's entertaining, or something that's a blend of that, or whatever. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, having good characters that resonate, that have chemistry together, and that's what you do, in my opinion, you know, extremely well. And
Well, thank you.
That's why it's, you know, like I said.
Yeah, and they're trying, right across the board. They get all the guys bring a different thing to the table. And so, you know,
right.
they have their own opinions, and some of the best banter is when someone comes up with an opinion about something that's happened, and they just talk amongst themselves about it, really, and all the opinions come to the table, and they all count.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man,
very cool. And what branch that I didn't catch that unless I was zoning. But what branch of the military are these gentlemen?
They're from all over. There's a Navy guy. There's a couple
all
of Marines.
Different branches. All four. Okay.
Yeah. There's a SEAL. There's a guy from the 22nd Airborne Division. Sarge, who leads the gang. He's the oldest one there, and he kind of self-appointed himself. As Sarge, he's developed himself from being a guy with his feet, boots on the ground, to being an expert sniper. But he can also pull a plan together, pretty much like Hannibal would do in the A-Team. Same kind of thing, just without the cigar. But he's also a man of God too. He found God. So despite the fact that the certain bad guys may have to die, you know, there's always some, you know. That was not there. This guy, maybe someone's son. If we can avoid doing that, let's avoid doing that. And he'll always try and come up with an alternate plan to make things go a little smoother, so that there's not too much nastiness going on.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Will we be seeing anybody like the interpreters and stuff like that?
Say again, sorry, sir.
Will we be seeing anybody in your book sort of like the interpreters that they have that are looking at being killed and stuff
right now?
Now?
Possibly in the future, yeah, and not in this one, and perhaps not in the next one. The next one's a little closer. The next one's going to be set, I think, in Indiana. But the one after that, maybe. I'm trying to keep them from. There are a bunch of guys that have access to free travel through the national. You know, someone at the National Guard or UPS, you can get them on a plane to pretty much anywhere via different destinations. But they can't be flying off to everywhere all the time. But no, the things that have been happening recently certainly do need some kind of documentation, and will find their way into a story at some point.
Nice.
Cool.
Very nice.
That would be great. Mm-hmm.
Maybe
blessed,
make
a lot of work at in my regular day job. I'm actually surrounded by former Marines. So I'm not
there
stuck
you go.
To stories. Yeah, I'm doing, and it kind of bleeds. Well, I mean, these guys bleed the country, basically. They're very proud of what they've done and where they served, and I'm proud to know them.
Yep.
And their characters may find themselves in a book at one point. I've already warned them that they could turn up somewhere, and I'll try not to tell them.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, you're right.
Don't tell me
know.
Too
yeah.
much. You'll end up in a book.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a humbling experience.
Yeah.
And it's an honor.
I'll take you out by the page. No problem.
Yeah, and most of us see that as an honor, you know.
Absolutely.
Have those type of people right around you and everything, so you can make sure you get it right.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I mean, it is. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very. They've actually read Exodus and said that kind of impressed with the research that's gone into this. Having never been obviously in battle myself, the only thing that was kind of humbling, Exodus has had almost universally good reviews, but I've got one two-star review. Then I've got one five-star review that says, we love the book, brilliant story, love the death, but note to author, Glocks don't have safeties. And no matter how much research you do, one of my characters clicked the safety of his Glock, and they don't have safeties.
Nope.
So now I'm in a place where my boss or one of my co-workers are going to say, you know, that's wrong, right? And I'm like, no, but I do now.
I learned.
That's true, though. The very technical aspects, readers will call you on that every time, especially if that's their area of expertise. Because one of my best moments was a sniper shot that I had in one of my books that takes down a helicopter, and I had a former Navy SEAL tell me, he says, you did your homework. He says, you got that right. You know, as far as describing how, where they should, you know, the shot had to hit, and, you know, one shot could take a helicopter down. And he actually told me I did my homework right. And I was like, yes, yes. Cause he knew his stuff. So.
People don't realize there's a lot of research. You have to do a lot of research because they will call you out. And that's like when I'm watching TV shows or, you know, because I've been I was a nurse. I worked as a nurse for over 20 years. And so I'll be watching a show or I'll read and I'm like, no, that's totally not how you would do that. Or, you know, if you're using the wrong equipment or, you know, they did not do their research. So yeah, people do pay attention.
Dark Target has a lot of the stories about blood supply. I won't give too much away about ruining the plot, but a lot of it's about blood supply and how it's gotten transported and stored. And I probably should have spoke to you before this came out. It's too late now, probably.
Well, for the
it's
next
too late
one,
now.
Give me a call and I will give you whatever expertise I have.
That way,
always,
on call.
I've had a lot of authors over the years call me on, they'll text me about, you know, either witchy stuff or they'll text me about nursing stuff or, you know, and they're like, you're going to end up in our book. I'm like, go ahead. I don't care if that's fine.
Just for me, get it done.
I see it as an honor.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Knowledge is power.
Yeah, I'm like, you can kill me off. That's okay. I'm fine.
Well, guess what, folks? The Hydra party is about to expand, and I'm getting ready to bring aboard another author who was mentioned just earlier, if you were paying attention, folks, to Tony earlier in the show, and, of course, multi-genre author of Hydra Publications. Welcome aboard, and also previous Imaginarium guest, Mary Ellen Quier. You are live. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you guys today?
Doing good. It's a Hydra party tonight. It's like, the heads of the Hydra keep expanding as the show goes on.
That sounds so innocent. And then when you read the opening chapter to Absolution, which she primarily wrote, and then you read it, you're like, Mary Ellen, I got some questions. I just want to quickly introduce folks. When I was writing the Victor McCain series, people kept saying, why don't you write Samantha Tyler books? I'm like, because I don't have time. So I wrote the first one with Rachel Rawls, and I was really pleased with how Rachel is a fabulous writer, and it turned out great. But when it came time to write the second one, I was even busier, and I went, I need to pair somebody up with Rachel that really has kick-ass action and can really just get nitty-gritty. I went, oh, Mary Ellen. And so I had them team up to write Absolution. And when I was editing the book, I was editing that one and another one. And the way I edit, I read one chapter, one book, one chapter, the other book, and I alternate to keep it fresh. Well, I started cheating about halfway through Absolution. I would read two, three chapters of Absolution, and then one of the other book, and then two or three chapters of Absolution, and one of the other book. And as I mentioned earlier, I've already started writing, reading the first half of the newest Amanda Tyler book, and you guys are good. You there, Mary Ellen?
Yes.
She's listening intently. Hello, Mary Ellen. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing pretty good.
Mary Ellen, what is it like to write Samantha Toller books?
Oh, it's actually fun. This one was actually great because it was one of those where I got to write a lot of the bad guy parts. So it was a whole different take on writing in general, and so I got to actually do a little bit more than what I do with like when I wrote Price McCann's The Find, which was an assassin book for Hydra. So I don't know. It's a good time. You get to sit down and find these different ways. You know, for this guy to be bad, and then figure out more and more about him.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot going on, Mary Ellen, and certainly I still have just the best memories of coming and visiting the book club the day that I was a guest with you all, and still remember that day very clearly and fondly. And so how have things been with you? Catch us up on all. Tony gave us obviously some info on what's happening with you lately, but I definitely want to hear it from you as far as what you're working on and what's going on in your world. Yeah, give us some updates.
Well, COVID has been really interesting in my world. I do, I'm a veterinary technician, so a lot of it, I mean, we're still considered healthcare, so we do a lot of work. And between that, I get to write. So I have been working on the second of the Price McCann series, which I'm about 3/4 of the way through. We're halfway through the next thing is a Tyler book, which, I'm really enjoyed writing that. Rachel's so much fun to write with. Just some little things here and there. But, yeah, it's been kind of busy.
Well, it'd help if I had my mic on. I sometimes turn it off so I don't get any.
I was
going to
say, where'd everybody go? Hello. I lost like everybody for a minute.
Yeah, but the COVID period definitely has been a roller coaster, and yeah, definitely. I was even bummed this month because it kind of cost us just being able to see a lot of you all in Louisville or LaGrange, to be fully accurate again.
Yeah.
With the Kentuckiana Authors Fair, you guys had
to,
I understand it, bump it to April, I believe, if I'm correct. Tony, is that still the plan?
It is April 9th. It's, you know, when Lee Pennington, although he had the vaccinations, he had a breakthrough infection.
Right.
And then somebody
involved, and his wife.
And his wife has now come down with it. Been a major player out for the film festival, the guy that's in charge of it. He's now had it for quite a while.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not talking out of school. They've made Facebook posts about it. But he's been sick with it since July 10th. And it's still on a ventilator. I thought, you know, we're not getting any younger. The Delta variant is starting to have breakthrough infections, and it's not worth buying a book to have either, let alone death. But, you know, if you got long-haul symptoms because you catch it, I didn't want on my conscience to have somebody getting sick for buying a book. So,
right.
You know, it's one of our big money makers. So you hate to put it off because, you know, for August, it's one way for us to make money in August when book sales generally aren't that great. And but we have to put it up, and there's no amount of money that's worth somebody's health. So, I mean, you all been
no.
Well, you
no,
know,
correct.
You people do it. You do it, so.
Yeah, been there, done, got the T-shirt and everything. But seriously,
yeah.
Though, Tony.
Yeah, we have long haulers, too. I mean.
But,
you know,
you see, this
is my
chance.
My full lung capacity back.
See, this is the one I didn't have to be responsible for. I could be irresponsible at this one.
Me and Steve love to attend because we don't get to attend the Imaginarium except late night. You know, I cut loose. But but during the day, you know, we don't get to attend. We're too busy with stuff. So, yeah, we love. So invite us, people. Anywhere you got stuff going on, invite us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love
to
go.
We need social time. We need social
time. And hang out. sell some books, sell some books, you know, be at our table, but, actually sell books.
But yeah, I know how it feels, Tony. Because, we had to punt Imaginarium live in 2020 for the same reason. So we got lucky this year because it fell right in the perfect pocket. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better pocket.
We got so lucky
this year, but we got so lucky. But
because like Cincy Coming Expo are both coming up, and we're planning on going because we have tables. But you know, I'm not thrilled about it. You're gonna two reasons. One, you're going to have literally tens of thousands of people if they show. Sales are down because people aren't going to come to the convention because of the Delta variant. So your sales are going to be down. But you know what? We'll get Mary
Ellen. Yeah, it's a roller coaster.
We'll get Mary Ellen finish the next, McCann book and the next Samantha book with Rachel. We'll get Mick's book out. And around Christmas, when this is finally burned out, maybe we can find a time to host an event. A holiday event so people can buy books for Christmas shopping. That's kind of one of the things I'm thinking, pulling a lot of us local creatives together. And if the Delta variant has run its course, which they predict it will by then, getting everybody together doing some book releases can have. I wrote that nonfiction book about humor, and we've yet to have a book signing for it.
See, it sucks. Don't that suck? Yeah. Well, Tony, if you need any help, just give me a buzz, okay?
We'll call you. Hydra 7
there.
Star. We'll be there.
All right.
Yeah, that'd be
all
really cool. I've never met Mary Ellen, being part of the Hydra family. I've never met Mary Ellen.
Really?
I've never met you.
You've never met Mary Ellen. She is a sweetheart.
I kind of. I went to imagine Mary
Ellen.
I always stuck up on my. I always stuck up on my books. I went to get Defined, and it wasn't there. So I ended up picking up Absolution anyway. It's on my TBR pile. Mm-hmm.
You guys would hit it right off.
Some point.
Similar personalities.
We're in the same family.
Writer.
We're going to bump into one another at some point.
I would love to meet you.
Zoom.
Well, y'all talking about events. I just got home from Indiana 3 days ago.
Where'd you go to Indiana?
I was in Martinsville.
Well, did you come through here? You didn't tell me.
No, I went through Louisville.
Dark. You are in trouble.
I went through Louisville. Are you in Louisville?
Well, I know, but you were close. You were that close to me. Shame on you. Shame on you, Daniel Dark.
And I had to get back home and everything, and I stopped at a restaurant, and I'm used to down here and everything, and hardly anybody wears a mask. And I stopped at this restaurant, and 100% of the people had masks on. I'm like, what the
and
hell?
In Indiana?
Yes.
Hell, in southern Indiana, there ain't like nobody. They don't give a crap. That's where I got it the first time because they wasn't even wearing them in the hospitals. They wasn't wearing them nowhere. I go up there to see my parents, and it's like a total different world because, we live in Lexington, Kentucky. I go up there, and it's Amishville. It's out in the middle of nowhere. Them country people, they don't care. They are running around, and it's like a free-for-all. So I don't know how their levels aren't, their statistics aren't really high. But I guess it's because they don't have the populace, like we do here. Yeah, it's totally different in southern Indiana.
Hardly anybody wears a mask. You see a
few. Yeah, they don't in southern Indiana either.
A few people wear masks. If you go into Nashville, you'll see people wearing masks and everything, but that's 60 miles away.
I stopped in that restaurant
and everything, and 100% of the people had masks on, and I'm like, huh, where's my mask at? It's in the car. Let me go get it.
I know.
because
we went without them in Lexington. We went without them for so long. Andy had us, our governor, he had us completely wearing them for everything until, like, you know, the spring. And then it was like, woo, we're free again. And now they're masking back up. And I went to Walmart tonight and they had a sign. But most people in there, I told Steve a few were wearing them, but most people weren't.
Yeah, that's the first time I walked into Walmart the day after the mandate, because I had my mask on and everything. No one had one on at all. It was so weird to be the only one wearing one. So.
Yeah. I have COPD, and I've had COVID. I don't particularly, I don't see it as it's not a political statement at all. But to me, they smother me to death. And I don't care what the experts say. I don't care what they say. It smothers me to death. But we had a guest at Imaginarium. I'm sure you've all met him, Mr. Simon Kledke, my little buddy from Chile, the little German. love Simon. But he brought his own mask with his, like, book title on it, Saranya. And he had a made. Well, I wore it because me and Steve, he had an appointment today, and we went for a well check. And I wore it, but it like vents at the top so I could get cool air. So that one didn't bother me so much. But the ones that are tight around my nose, I can't wear them. I literally feel like I'm smothering because I'm breathing hot and waste air, and I can't do that. You know?
Yeah,
it's rough. I couldn't work 12 hours and do that. God love the nurses, and bless you that are working now 12-hour shifts in those suckers, because, it's rough. It is, you know, and a lot of them are complaining, but they do it because, well, they're protecting their patients, and they're protecting themselves. I mean, I understand it, but it's hard for them, you know, and God bless them.
Well, I was going to say, we say, you know, thank you for your service to all the military people, and we started, and we should. And particularly, you know, with them serving, you know, for 20 years at Godforsaken Corps, but also thank you for your service, nurses, doctors, EMTs, first responders.
Bless you.
You don't have a choice in your job about avoiding COVID. You're going to, you know, you can mask up, but it's going to be around you all day, every day, you know, at least
24/7.
And those people, I mean, you talk about PTSD, they don't get enough credit for what they do.
Yeah, they have a hard job.
It's a fact.
My son is he's an EMT down around the hazard area, Pikeville, Kentucky, and he's also studying to be a mortician. So he works for the funeral home now, and the funeral director come down with it, and, I mean, he's exposed to it on the ambulance, and the poor kid, he's got a growth in his lungs, but he has to wear a mask, you know, he just has to, but... I don't know how he's made it through, but he's not got COVID yet. And I mean, you know, even me and Steve had it last year, but yeah, he's not got it. Bless his heart. I desperately hope he don't because of his lung situation, but yeah, he's exposed to it all the time. He says he picks up people all ages. It ain't just old people. You know, he picks up all ages with it and is exposed. And it's just horrible. And, yeah, you're right, Tony. Bless their hearts. You know, thank you. Thank you all for your service. Are you military and medical?
Yeah.
And essential workers, you know, that keep our stores going. Bless your hearts.
Well, is he taking plenty of vitamin D and zinc and C? And
yes. Yes, he knows about all that, the zinc, the vitamin D, and then I say elderberry because that's what got us through it, elderberry. And I drank, when we had it, I drank kombucha tea every day. It tastes like crap, but I couldn't taste or smell for 8 days, so it didn't really matter. You know, so I was drinking it every day. I couldn't taste it anyway. But, yeah, Steven even did the elderberry, vitamin D, C, and the zinc. Good stuff.
If you don't, I would say a quick funny story because we've all been to comic book conventions and other conventions, and I'm sure most of you all who know me and have heard this, the George Lucas comparisons.
Yes.
I'm assigned to a comic book convention that says I am not cosplaying George Lucas. Well, I'm going through Kroger line. There's a young TikTok clerk, and a guy looks at me. He's probably 18. He goes, "Hey, I want you to know, I really like the last Star Wars movie." And I'm like, I'm used to the convention. But Kroger. And then I looked at him and I said, well, don't blame me for Jar Jar Binks. Hey, I love Jar Jar when I'm free. I'm like, I don't know you, but I like Kroger.
That's great. Yeah, hell, roll with that. I would. I mean, I would roll with that. It wasn't my fault, man.
I'm lucky.
My hands are tied, man.
Well, the other thing that happened last week is I'm in Costco, and this little girl, she's 3 or 4 years old. She's in a basket. She looks at him. She goes, Mom, it's Santa. And I looked at her, and I always do the thing. I wink. And she goes, okay. You know, but she's going to forever think she saw Santa at Costco, you know, shopping for meatloaf and, you know, mashed potatoes. So.
Oh, my God.
Just one thing. Holly, is your son listening tonight by any chance?
He might be.
Not
you
tonight,
never know.
But he might be.
Tonight.
I don't know. Sometimes he does. I can tell
he
you.
Lurks.
He was just here.
Well, he lurks sometimes.
The past 2 days.
Yeah, he's a lurker. I love using the word lurker. He's a lurker sometimes.
I can tell him.
Just thank him for me. I know you guys were right there for me, the Imaginarium. Someone told me not too long ago that your son was there and tried to take my blood pressure. And apparently I was very confused, obviously, and had no clue what was going on. And I didn't seem to be too happy about him trying to do it. So I apologize to him on my behalf and thank him very much for doing his best to help me.
Oh, that's no problem. He is an EMT.
Yeah.
So, me and him both were right there. He was on one side of you and I was on the other. I was holding your head up. Bless your heart.
Talk about being in the right place at the right time. Good grief.
If you all didn't know, Mick got sick. Yeah. He got sick at Imaginarium. So I happened to be walking by, and everybody's like, Holly. And then I go running, and I lost my shoe. I don't know how this happened, Mick. Yeah, you didn't know it. I found it later. Somebody brought it to me.
Oh, good.
But I don't know how I lost my shoe, but I immediately hit the floor right with you. I was on the floor laying right beside you. I was right there. And my shoe was gone. When they come to get you and everything, I'm like, where's my shoe? And, yes, somebody had brought it to me. I have no idea how I lost my shoe.
That's a good thing.
Yeah,
I didn't take 3R with me. It may not have been my size.
Mick, you gave Holly a Cinderella.
A Cinderella?
Yes, it was like Cinderella.
Well, thank you for me. I'll be forever indebted anyway. It's a strange time.
Yeah, we will definitely pass it along.
No problem, man.
Yeah, we talked to him
once
a day. I
would do it 10
times
over.
Yeah, we will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would do it 10 times over. Let's just hope I don't have to. Okay, that's what.
Yeah, let's not. I hope Mick
let's
never
not do that
again.
Let's be healthy and get through it and you know.
Absolutely.
Knock on wood.
I'm not planning on doing that again.
Yes.
So,
yes.
With tonight's group, Tony, Mick with Mick and Mary Ellen and you, which events are still on your live calendar coming up later this fall, and which events are Mick and Mary Ellen going to be at as a follow-up to that?
The only two things we currently have on our schedule are the Cincinnati Comic Expo, and I'm trying to see, that's the first or second week in September, I think. I'm pulling up our calendar now. And then we've got the Lexington Comic and Toy Convention. That's one of our big conventions. I'm curious to see how attendance is with that. Let's see. You've got September 9th through the 12th is the Lexington Comic and Toy Convention. We've got September 17th through the 19th is Cincinnati Comic Expo. And we have not set in stone who is going to be there yet. We're hoping to have next Victor McCain book, and even maybe, depending on how fast Mary Ellen writes. Yeah, they're both well. I don't think we got a chance, Mary Ellen. I don't think we talked much about the Princess McCann book. Do you want to tell folks about that real quick? Cause that's the first book in your series that you wrote for us.
Right. So Price McCann, she is an assassin, and she actually comes from a family of vigilantes. So you know, she has poisoners in her family, and she has, you know, computer hackers, just about any crime you can think of, they actually do. But they, you know, really have, I mean, they obviously trained her and raised her to be this. And she experiences a loss and decides, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. So basically, defined as a book where, you know, she's trying to live a normal life and her family keeps trying to drag her in back into the fold. So it is, I mean, there are some, you know, a lot of action and everything, but it is filled with, like, humor. So if you like things like Janet Ivanovich's series, the Bounty Hunter series, it's got that same kind of humor in it. But, yeah, it's she's something else.
But actually, though, and it goes back to Stephen and Holly Daniel, I hesitate inviting people to come to either one of those conventions because of the Delta variant and how many people are going to be there. Stuart Thamen will be at Lexington for sure, and I'm not sure who's going to be in Cincinnati. But, you know, I again, it's one of those where, you know, I hate almost to invite somebody because of the buck. So
yeah.
There will
right.
be somebody there.
Yeah.
I just don't know who.
Yeah, I doubt if we even go. Honestly, we're not planning on it. But I'd like to go sometime.
Tony,
we never go, but I doubt
Tony
we do.
Tony will deploy the Hydra AI robots to man the booth.
There you go.
The Hydra AI robots
hey.
Can give a bump grab, buddy, and five man.
But if you or Mick or Mary Ellen happen to be in town and want to catch up for a bourbon and a quick visit, though, yeah, let us know.
Heck yeah, we're right
we're,
here, people.
Yeah, we're here.
Absolutely.
So we'd love to see
that's
you.
That's on the list of things to do.
However it works out. Yeah,
heck yeah,
however it works out.
Come see us. We're right here.
Yeah,
we'll
you can even meet our legendary cats, and that's always exciting. But
yep, you're always welcome.
Yeah, always welcome.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Queen Victoria and Prince Albert, you're always welcome to come visit with them.
Well, here's hoping that things do clear up at least. Well, I know the you know there's a lot of things in the air for September. I know, but hopefully maybe by December we might get lucky and you know, things will, you know, be a little bit more on the upswing by then. So it's not quite as much of a worry for folks. I hope so at least.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see.
Crossing fingers. I'm crossing fingers.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
We've all got one of the guys that I was talking to up in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
He said that there was eight guys that he knew that went to an event down in Florida. Seven of them came back with COVID.
Oh, wow.
Oh, criminally.
And when was this?
That was just like a few weeks ago that they went down to Florida.
Yeah, man, it's just...
Florida's bad.
Yeah, Florida's like a hotbed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get 10, 20,000 people all in one room, and they're circulating the same air. You know, it's just... You can use all the hand sanitizers you want, but at some point, you're going to let your mask slip down, you're going to take your mask off, and the viral load in the air in that room... It's going to be such that, you know, you take your own chances.
Yeah.
Hand sanitizer, and I want to make this point. Hand sanitizer kills bacteria. Doesn't kill viruses. COVID is a virus. And people think, oh, but put all this hand sanitizer on, they're completely protected. No. If you're going into a hot spot like that, mask, you know. Sanitize, because there's flu bugs, there's different things, you know, but hand sanitizer is for bacteria, not viruses. Now, they do make, since COVID, they do make sprays and stuff with bleach and different stuff. I know Clorox is making some that are antiviral, you know, so always check and see if it says antiviral. Viral, because that's what you want to like clean your doorknobs with, clean your phones with, clean your, you know, cell phones are a big thing. Cell phones pick up so much crap, and they do make the infrared like scanners now. You could get them on like Amazon for nothing.
Yeah.
They're like ultraviolet lights or something. You know what I'm talking about, Daniel?
Yeah.
And they sanitize all your stuff. Yeah. Yeah, they do. They kill viruses. It kills bacteria. So that's good to have. Like if you go to a convention, like when you guys come to Lexington, you know, it'd be good to like just invest in one of those little ones. They're not that much. They're on Amazon. But you can put your phone in. You can put a stylus in, your keys, stuff like that, you know, that you touch with your hands.
Like what I've got is a wand that has one of the lights in it that
yeah.
you can just sort of scan over the top of your stuff.
Yeah.
Slowly.
You know,
it kills them.
The topics have really changed from my very first ever Star Chamber visit to this one.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. It's a different ball game, yeah.
Because now we're talking about events COVID's been 2 years in our life. But unfortunately, Tony, I think this is going to be God, I hate the word new normal, but I fear this is going to be our life from here on out. People are going to have to be a little bit more savvy, a little bit more careful with everything.
Yeah.
Does that mean you're paranoid? No. Does that mean you go overboard? No. You know, but we're going to have to be more cautious. Put it that way.
Tommy, when the first visit was that actually all the way back in 20? When did you start this show? Was it back in 2014?
Back in 2014
or so. It was before me and Steve were together.
Yeah, it was way before. Yeah, it was probably about 2014 or so.
Hi,
yeah.
Steven. I've got a book called The Hand of God. It's a really cool book, and I'd like to go and talk about it. Really.
Tony, if you want to hear that show, it's still in our archive. All our shows are literally in our archive on blogtalkradio.com/StarChamberShow. Yeah, you can
go back all the way.
Yeah.
And listen to the progression. I'm going to tell you right now, we have grown. We are wiser. We are older and wiser. We are
I hope so.
More experienced.
I sure hope so.
Experienced, you know. We're definitely more experienced, to say the least. We've learned, you know, we got learned, put it that way.
There's no doubt, because, again, a lot of people don't, you know, I've been a publisher now for so long. I didn't want to be a publisher. I tried to get somebody else to buy it. But one of the reasons why for people, for the long-timers, when Frank Hall owned it, we were up at, was it Conglomeration? What was the one up in Ohio that's gone? Contact. Is that what it was?
I don't know. Even Steven?
Which one was on, I'm trying to think.
Was it Contact that was up in Ohio? They don't have it anymore.
In Ohio, you're thinking of Context, probably, the one in Columbus.
That was my first convention that I went to. Of course, not really a convention. It wasn't really all that big. But that's where I met you and James O. Barnes and maybe either Eric James. Or James Sizemore, because I was trying to help Frank. So I don't know if you'll remember, but I'm like, I will pay for dinner if you all will let me ask you any question that I've got. And, of course, anybody who knows writers, we all look for a free meal anytime somebody will give us one. And then I bugged the hell out of you for a meal, and then you all had a room party for James Barnes was the bartender, because, of course, he used to bartend. And I met Michael West for the first time, and Marion Allen and T. Lee Harris, I met them for the first time. Up at Context, and that was 2013. So that, you know, that's 8 years ago. And back then, I was just trying to be a writer. And now, you know, we do the publishing and the screenwriting and the novel writing and, you know, all that stuff. So it's been a long journey for 8 years.
Deep into the pool now. Yeah, that's for sure.
And then I met me and Mick met at what used to be, it's now the Raven Irish Pub. We met, Molly Malone's, Vic?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I came asking for advice.
Yeah, I had a book shop there, and Victor McCain hangs out at the, now the Raven. We even addressed that in the new book, they changed names. And one of my friends said, well, if you got Molly's in your book, why don't you have a book signing there? And I went, hey, they got food. Sure. And then here we are with Mick. Mick's all involved because I went and had a book signing at Molly Malone's.
networking. I preached that for years, ever since I handle programming at Imagineering for 18 years now. Networking, it's so important. I always do a panel on it. I want people to do workshops on it. It is, because that's how you meet people, that you want to work with, that you want to collaborate with. You have to get out and talk to people. It's hard. The past 2 years have been trying, with the whole COVID crap, but you have to network, even if you are Zooming or, you're sitting behind your computer. It doesn't matter. You have to network. You have to talk to people. And you will not believe the people that will talk to you. Guys, you don't realize I talk to a lot of people, and I've had a lot of people that can't come to Imaginarium but are huge names, nice as pie. They respond to me. They'll talk to you. It's just reaching out. Don't be afraid to reach out to nobody. Do it and see if they get back to you. You ain't going to lose nothing, so write them. And you won't believe the response you'll get, and that's how you grow. That's how you learn new things. That's how you network. That's how you get new authors. Tony is, we can vouch. That's how you meet people.
Yeah, you say nice as pie. What kind of pie it is, too, though. But Mary Ellen, do you remember how you and I first met?
Mm-hmm.
Was it at Imaginarium?
No, we actually first met at Taryn's Book Farm when you all bought the bookstore.
Oh, there you go. Right.
Oh.
Yeah. My side adventure.
I love that store.
Yeah,
I did.
Cool store.
Well, I did too. I really did. That was a lot of fun.
I liked coming there for signings and stuff. It was always fun. The customers, lovely people, were always interested in talking with the authors. Great people.
It came because of idiots. I had sold it to a young lady who was doing a great job. And a really quick story, there was the people that owned the building. There was a thunderstorm coming in. It was going to be dumping up to 2 inches of rain, and they were working on the roof, and they left a brick-sized hole in the roof and didn't cover it. And then it flooded the second floor, and then it flooded the bookstore. Mm. $25,000 worth of damage to the bookstore.
No.
And this was their Imaginarium. Matter of fact, it was on the Sunday of Imaginarium, and the lease was up in January, and they promised me they would let her have the lease for the same price that I paid it. Well, when they came after them for the money, because of all the damage they did, they were going to, double her rent. And she ended up moving to a bookstore downtown. So, the bookstore had been there for 27 years. And because of the Yahoo that owned the building, it is no more.
And that's unfortunate.
Sad.
It truly is. It's unfortunate. But, it is what it is. It happened. But it was cool. It was cool when you had it. I enjoyed it. And it's something that's always going to be in my memory. The one memory I have, and it shows up every year at that time, we did a signing there with Michael West. It was, I think, Dan Jolly come down for it. It was me, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
We had a few there that day. Bill Noel was there, but Michael, you must be listening. Hi, honey. No, Michael West had a chainsaw, and he was acting like he's chainsawing my head off, and I'm like, and there's a picture that shows up on my Facebook feed of this, but let me tell you, that picture didn't show what happened. He was acting like he saw my head off. Steve got the picture. Soon as Steve snapped that picture, my hair got caught up in that chain of that toy chainsaw. And it started wrapping around. I'm like, Michael, stop. My hair was getting pulled by the chain.
And if you don't know Holly, she has a substantial amount of hair. So that is a problem.
I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. But that's what I always remember. Mm-hmm.
You're talking about bookstores and everything on the people that own the buildings. Elder's Bookstore in Nashville had been there since like the 60s. They actually bought out my great uncle's bookstore, which was the oldest bookstore in Nashville when he went out of business. and the people that own the building, because they were building all these nice condos and all that stuff, they like tripled his rent 1 year. He's like, yeah, no, screw it.
Yeah.
And he went out to another part of Nashville and moved all of his stuff out there and opened up a bookstore out there, because, you know, they just, you know, all of a sudden they just said, oh, this year it's going to be triple what it was, you know, last month.
That's crazy.
Dang.
I was going to say, as an English guy, and talk about networking, if you're going to meet your future publisher somewhere, you should definitely meet him in a pub.
Yeah.
Yes.
Agreed.
We always seem to come back to beer or bourbon. There's writing malarkey. I don't know if it's been done sober. We always seem to be coming back to beer or bourbon and meeting in bars. It's terrible.
If you want a book published by me, bourbon never hurts.
That's right.
No.
Same goes for Steve. That's right.
Yeah.
Bourbon never hurts.
Yeah,
I'm a wino. Steve is a bourbon connoisseur. Tony also likes Fireball. You can't be convinced with Fireball cupcakes.
That's it.
That's true.
Fireball with Diet Dr. Pepper, you get a fire pepper, and it's fabulous.
Wow, that's
nice.
Yep,
yeah.
Fire pepper.
There you go. Now you know.
Yeah, Stacy or Tracy or both, but I remember they made you those Fireball cupcakes, and those were just legendary. Those were so good.
I had one.
Those are good. Yeah.
God, they were good.
Is it a cupcake with a mini Fireball bottle stuck in the top of it?
No, but they've actually cooked it in the batter.
Okay, yeah. No, it's fabulous.
God. So good. Yep. And they put it in the icing. I mean, they were good.
There's a reason why our table was very popular.
Yeah.
But, and I want to give you all a compliment.
Tommy says he kept hearing about the handshakes.
Well, yeah. It's like a family reunion for Hydra, because so many of the Hydra, I mean, this year you had Jim Miller and Dave Creek and Arlen Andrews and Lee Pennington and, you know, just all the writers, you know, Nathan Day and Thomas Moore were there. And
Tommy!
Yeah, those great guys.
Yeah, that's
Nathan,
a cool dude.
Love him. Love Thomas Moore.
Thomas Moore, he's fabulous. And so you get those guys who are there. And it's like a huge family reunion. Now, because of COVID, we didn't have as many. And I'm sure there'll be more back next year. But like the year before COVID, we had 20-some-odd riders at some point at our table throughout the weekend. We had over 20 riders that came by and just to visit. So, you know.
Right.
Family.
Yeah.
Family.
It is.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
That's what we try to say about Imaginarium. We have a base. We have a great base family that returns every year, that comes every year. And it is a reunion for us. And we love new people. Because we swallow them up because we're like, hey, new people, you know. And everybody is so welcoming, and there's no judgment, and all that crap's left at the door, and everybody loves everybody, and it's a great time. Great time.
Yep.
I missed it. Something awful. It's good to be back.
Well, we love having you back.
Yes, absolutely. But we're coming up with about 1 minute left in the show, so. So Mary Ellen and Mick, if you guys would like to tell us where we can find you online, and then Tony, go ahead and follow them, and then Daniel and Holly, you can wrap it up if we go over the live show just a bit. There, you know, we'll still be recording.
You go ahead, Mary Ellen.
So go.
Okay. Yeah, you can find my stuff on my website, which is maryellenchoir.net, and then of course I do have stuff on Facebook as well under my name. But, yeah.
Yeah. My stuff is on Amazon, obviously on the Hydra website, and you can also get it from MickLibsAuthor.com, and I'm also on Facebook.
There you go, Tony Acree at TonyAcree.com. You can find Hydra Publications, HydraPublications.com. Look for us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, all those fine places. And thanks very much, Stephen, Holly, and Daniel, for having Hydra in the house.
Indeed.
Hydra!
As always. Hydra!
Hydra!
Hell Hydra!
All right,
my
buddy Holly and Daniel.
Hell Hydra.
Now, Holly and
Daniel.
Well,
I want to say tune in next week, 9 p.m. Great guest. We will be announcing in the next few days. Join us at Imaginarium.com. We've got our early bird specials up. So www.imaginarium.com. And you can see, you know, all the fun things that we did and that we're going to do. We will be updating the site. Also, www.7thstarpress.com. We will be getting a facelift soon, but come check us out. We have a lot of great authors, great books. Check us out. And see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Everybody safe.
Thank you all. Daniel.
I want to thank Hydra for coming in today and being with us tonight. And, you know, hopefully you got a little bit of information as well as entertainment tonight. And you can find me in the shadows of your dreams. And until we talk next week, this is Daniel Dark signing off.